Frazier and Maestro Styles, you know we got one. Right back like we left some. We don't duck smoke, we want all of it. So line them up, Trey sharp with the blade, you know we sizing it up. I'm quick to catch the fade, you know Styles making the cut. Cause we coming out clean every time that we showing up.
It's gonna be called The Barbershop.
Yo, what up? What up, folks? Welcome to another edition of the Barbershop Sports Talk Podcast. We're streaming live right now on our YouTube channel, our Twitter handle at Barbershop SPOR2 on Twitch and on our Facebook page on Facebook Live. I'm Trey Frazier, and that's the homie Maestro Styles right there.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm walking wounded right now. I'm feeling a little meh right now, but you know, I got to be here for the podcast, so you know.
Hey man, that's what we do, man. We do what we got to. So, Man. Well, look, man. Allow me to twist the knife, man. It's racist.
You on the couch, man.
I'm starting to feel like
we on the couch.
It's systematic racism as to why y'all not in the Super Bowl, bruh.
Systematic racism.
I'm gonna tell you why, man. I'm gonna get straight into it.
Go ahead.
Why in the fuck are y'all not running the ball? Why are y'all not running the ball, bro? You bought in Todd Monken, and if you allow me, I'll let you vent about your team. You hired Todd Monken to be your offensive coordinator, and all year, Lamar Jackson, MVP season, where he's not throwing as much, he's balanced. He's enough throwing 200, but I think we're averaging like 212, 220, something like that, passing yards. And then he's going to give you that somewhere between 80 and 100 rushing yards. Like, he's balancing it.
Yep.
For some reason, today, or Sunday, he, and then against the Chiefs, where their strength is, they clearly played the pass. Yeah. They clearly played the pass. Like, if you would just run the ball, that front is never, like, they got DBs back there. It's not like they got a whole rack of, you know, big defensive linemen.
They did what the Chargers did against him his rookie year in the playoffs about 4 or 5 years ago. They had like 6 or 7 DBs back there.
Yeah,
but one of them catch like as a spy.
But what bothers me is, what is it about Lamar Jackson? Because at this point, this has happened with different coordinators. What is it about Lamar Jackson when he sees all these DBs? Why not just do what you do as opposed to, oh, I'm going to take the challenge and throw, even though this says run?
I don't even recognize that team on Sunday.
Yeah, it's racism, bro. I'm telling you, I'm looking
and I'm like, who the hell is this team?
I'm telling you, the word got put out to Todd Monken. Monken said, we can't let this nigga get to the Super Bowl. We seen what y'all did. Hold on, Trey. We seen what y'all did this week. Oh, we won the Black Super Bowl. We won the niggas Baltimore with the Gators and the full length minks and
Baltimore and Detroit.
Even though I
thought the Niners were gonna win anyway, but I'll tell you what I'm just talking about.
Yeah, y'all want, but this is what y'all wanted though. That y'all wanted Detroit with the minks and the Gators. And y'all wanted that. What up, though? Shout out Detroit. And y'all wanted that. And the NFL said, no. We want Taylor Swift.
Yep.
We want Taylor Swift.
And they want expensive-ass San Francisco. That's what they wanted.
Right.
That's what they wanted, man.
Hey, man. I'm sorry that y'all drafted such a nigga at quarterback.
So you're trying to imply that because he a nigga that he never gonna get to the Super Bowl?
Never, nigga.
I mean, Jalen Hurts was in a Super Bowl last year.
No. Don't make me do that. Don't make me do that.
Is he not a nigga?
On appearance, I don't know him personally, but you look at Lamar Jackson and you look at Jalen Hurts. He a pretty nigga. Lamar Jackson is a nigga.
He a nigga.
Nah, Lamar Jalen, Jackson Jalen is a Hurts, nigga.
Jalen Hurts is a nigga.
What will make you feel that way? He a pretty nigga. He want them little pretty flat boys.
I didn't know you had to be pretty. I thought this was more of I thought you're trying to differentiate from the light skinned mixed dudes with the pure, you know, black.
Okay.
I thought we're making that separation there.
I think they can let Jalen Hurts in because
Cam Newton was in a Super Bowl.
He don't look threatening. Did Cam Cam grown his dreads by the time he made it to the Super Bowl?
You know what? I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
I think he still had the Caesar.
I think he was still a pretty nigga too. We not about to have these dreadlock braided up niggas in our Super Bowl mixed with gators and long full length coats
combined with Detroit.
We ain't having it, man. We want Taylor Swift. We want our light skin. Our mixed brother. Who the white people been trying to claim since last season when they went up to Super Bowl? It might be systematic racism, my guy.
So we could play this game. Shout out our homie Alex.
What up?
Facebook live chat. He said McNabb played in a Super Bowl with his peanut head, bell pepper nose.
Don't hit the same.
But didn't he have braids when he was in the Super Bowl?
I don't believe so. But if he did. It wasn't the same. It don't hit. I'm trying to tell you.
You're saying even though it don't hit the same, you're saying if McNabb had braids in a Super Bowl, it don't hit the same as Lamar.
It still Jackson. Don't hit the same. Are you okay? You making me do it, and it's fine. I'll be the sacrificial lamb.
What? Because he was in the Campbell Super Bowl?
No. Well, yeah.
Is that what we doing?
No, that's not what I'm doing. When you look at Lamar Jackson. In his face, his appearance, his demeanor. And I don't mean this in a way because I think he's a good dude for all I know. He's like he just plays football and goes home. That's what it looks like to me. Mm-hmm. But his appearance, he looked like a hood ass nigga. Like he looked like a nigga. Like if he wasn't playing football, he'd be running in houses.
So what about Doug Williams?
I don't remember what Doug Williams looked like in the 80s. I don't remember. I don't know.
I feel like the goalpost is being moved here.
I feel like it's right there. Because you're defining nigga from just this from the state of a black person. I'm defining nigga from the state of a nigga that looked like he a problem.
He got braids.
Yes,
But
you understand that braids, the concept, and take it from a nigga who done had dreads and braids for a long time.
I had braids too. Yeah.
As an adult, I've had braids and dreads for a long time. You get looked at by white people differently. There's a different demeanor as presented. And I get it. I'm just telling you from my personal experience, what it like to be a nigga with dreads or braids.
So you're saying Lamar Jackson need to cut his hair?
I'm saying white people scared of it.
No, I think you're saying he need to cut his hair.
No, I'm not. I'm saying he need to keep his hair and just run the ball. No, I think he need. I know. I'm saying keep his hair and run the damn ball.
So you think they still gonna let him in the Super Bowl if the team?
I'm sorry, Trey. You're taking me super literal. I'm not.
You clearly are.
If you're talking about he need to cut his hair. Clearly, what happened in the game.
You said he need to run the ball. So I'm saying in return to that, okay, so if he run the ball. If the team does what they're supposed to be doing and they show up and they play their game the way they've played it all year long,
they would have been in the Super Bowl.
He'd be in the Super Bowl.
Right.
From Florida, braids, all that.
So I say again, you're taking me super literal if you think I'm saying the only reason he didn't make the Super Bowl was because of his hair. That's not what I'm saying, Trey. What I'm saying is...
Moving the goalpost, bro. You all over the place, man.
Okay.
You all over the place, bro.
Okay.
He can't be a quarterback with braids, but he could be a running back with braids. All right.
Trey, what I'm saying is, I'll let you have it. I see that went over your head. But, all right. So, what happened in the game, man?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know, bro. Like I said, I didn't recognize that team from the start. I'll point this out. Because we signed Dalvin Cook about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he got some burn in a Texans game late. It was garbage time, but nonetheless, he was cooking for the time that he was out there. This nigga didn't even see the field Sunday. And it's like, what was the point? What was the point of having Dalvin Cook in the, you know, on your team if you're not going to use the guy? It's like, it's like paid in full. Like, how you going to have soldiers and you're not going to use them? Like, how you going to have Dalvin Cook on your team and you're not even going to use the guy? I mean, the other running backs had, what, 6 carries throughout the whole game? And I think some of that, some of the runs Lamar did was kind of scramble runs instead of, like, you know, design runs. I think maybe 2 design runs, and I think the rest of his runs was maybe scramble runs. Mm-hmm. Especially on the Zay Flowers touchdown. And I'll get to him in a minute. But I didn't recognize that team on Sunday, bruh. Why didn't I recognize them?
I mean, I get you're telling me why you didn't recognize them. But again, what do you think Monken saw in planning that made them go this route?
He saw that first drive, that first Kansas City drive, where they was picking apart the defense. Travis Kelce was getting his. They scored the touchdown there. Then we get the ball back. And, you know, nice drive, nice throw to Zay Flowers for the touchdown, 7-7. And we're thinking, oh, okay, this is what it's going to be like. Chiefs get the ball back, same thing. Picking the defense apart. We're playing zone, and we're not even putting a guy on Kelce. We're not even putting 2 guys on Kelce. So I think that first drive, and I think combined those 2 drives where they scored, the first 2 drives for Kansas mm-hmm. City, he panicked. It's either he panicked or he got a call from the league saying, yo, that girl in the suite.
Oh, I mean, look, man.
That girl's in the suite.
So, okay.
You already know what it is.
So you do think that this was a good spin. So allow me to take you super literal. You think that they lost the game because Taylor Swift was in the attendance and the NFL wanted Taylor Swift to be at the Super Bowl?
No. I don't think they lost the game because of Taylor Swift. They obviously they lost the game because they wasn't them. They you know, be who you are. Like, if you lose and you are who you are throughout that game, cool. But they wasn't them. They wasn't them. They was out of character. They morphed into something else that clearly was not them. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I saw this the other day. Carries for the running backs, I think every game this regular season, at the very least, maybe 18, 19 carries every game. And then we get to the most important game, you know, first home game in this round, you know, in the city in 50 years. And they only get 6. I mean, combined running backs get 6 carries. Yeah, that wasn't them, bro. That was something else. I don't know what the hell.
How much do you charge this up to pedigree? Meaning the Chiefs have been here before. The Chiefs did exactly what they've been doing.
I don't charge it up to pedigree. And let me give credit to the defense, because I think the Chiefs defense all year hasn't gotten the notoriety it deserves, because you got number 15 on the other side there. And obviously, when you're talking about Chiefs, you're going to talk, the first thing you think about is Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, the offense. Not a lot of people really talked about this defense. This defense gave up, I think, at the most 27, 28 points mm-hmm. in a game all year long. Mm-hmm. That's why my score was 24-21 Ravens, because I was respecting Kansas City's defense. In turn, Kansas City respecting our defense and what we were doing, you know, throughout the entire year. So,
and credit to the defense. I made sure I put that in my notes to say credit to the Chiefs defense. Yeah. But there's a lot to be said about shout out to Travis Kelce, who passed Jerry Rice for most playoff receptions. Yep. In a game where he had, what, 12, 13 receptions?
11, maybe it's a little more than 11. I just remember his first 11 targets, he caught all 11
targets. Right. So
in that first half.
So maybe 11, somewhere around there, 12, 13, 11, whatever it was. Yeah. In a game where him and Patrick Mahomes essentially did the majority of the damage in a low scoring game. So I get that you could say, credit to the defense, because certainly credit is due.
Yeah, they won that game for them. I'll be honest with you. The Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm gonna say 50-50. I'm gonna say 50-50, Trey.
Let's put it in this perspective. Our defense came out in a zone defense, and we knew, they failed with going zone, not covering Kelsey, not covering some of the other guys, but particularly Kelsey allowing 11 for 11, knowing that he's the best guy, he's the best pass catcher on the offense, that was a no-no for the defense. And at halftime, I said, okay, this team all year has made the adjustments. Let's see what they do. Offense, defense, right? And Mike McDonald, credit to Mike McDonald, he made the adjustments combined with, Kansas City had some, they had some false starts. They did have some hold calls here and there. But for the most part, once they kicked that field goal to go up 17-7, I think it was, we shut them out the rest of the second half. And, they came with the adjustments. That side of the ball came with adjustments. As for Todd Monken in the offense, no adjustments made whatsoever. Just throwing the ball all over the place, not being able to establish a run game. You got Zay Flowers and that's my guy, good rookie season. He had a rookie moment about a 5 minute stretch. He had a rookie moment, the penalty for the taunt,
I'm not cool with that. If I'm a Ravens fan, but you're a Ravens fan.
No, I'm saying they got the call right. I'm saying,
They
got the call right. I just wish they would have called it on Kelsey on the touchdown he got over Kyle Hamilton, and he did some taunting on that also. But so you got that, and then he's going to the end zone, and great play by Snead. I give Snead all the credit. But if you say Flowers, you got to protect that ball a lot better.
That's why I disagree. Most players, mm-hmm. most receivers, skilled players in that situation would have did the exact same thing that Zay Flowers did. I just give credit to LeJarius Sneed for making the play. But you just said that was a mistake and he should have protected the ball more. That happens all the time. I mean, literally all the time in the league where people stretch out to get the extra yardage.
Does it mean that, and I hear you. Does it mean that they can't protect it better though?
You can't protect it better with the ball stretched out that way. No, you can't protect it better. You either put the ball out or you don't put the ball out.
Well, he didn't put the ball out like sideways. He had it kind
of in front of him like this.
I'll look at the replay again, but he had the ball like out towards him like that.
Right, one way or the other. Oh. I mean, whether on the side of your arm or the front of your arm, the ball is still in your
right.
Right.
Or you could just not dive. I mean, I think there's so many different ways that, like, you can't tell me that that's the only way he can get in the end zone.
Let's be clear. He wouldn't have gotten the end zone if he didn't dive.
Right. Well, that's cool, but we would have had another play. I'm just
sure.
Saying.
Sure. Well, but see, that's hindsight. That's hindsight.
Of course.
Again, if that didn't happen, you wouldn't be saying that. But you wouldn't be saying anything about how he protected the ball. So, like I don't blame Zay Flowers in that situation. He got a little hungry in a playoff game, in the biggest game of his life. He got a little hungry, and Snead made a great play. I don't blame him for that at all. I mean, I hate it had to be him because of the taunt before it.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't blame him at all for trying to make something happen in a game where wasn't nothing happening. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't blame him for that. That was just a great play by LeJarius Sneed.
And then he cut his finger because he got mad on the bench.
Yeah, sure. He should be. So, yeah, like, yeah.
He just had a bad moment. He just had a bad 5 minutes. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, to anybody blaming him or, you know, blaming him for that.
Loss. Flowers for the loss.
I don't think you did. Yeah, I didn't take it that way. But anybody blame him for that play. I don't even blame him for, like, no, I don't think you blame him for that play. I think you just credit L'Jarius Sneed. Like I said, that happens all the time. I mean, literally, if L'Jarius Sneed was a millisecond later, the ball would have crossed the plane and we wouldn't even be talking about this. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't blame Zay Flowers for that. Lamar Jackson, to the people that's blaming Lamar Jackson, where do you stand?
He got to take some blame. Despite Monken not running the offense the way it's supposed to be ran, but if you're Lamar Jackson and on some of those passing downs, there were moments where he could have just took off. You know, 1, 2, 3, boom. Hey, take off.
Kansas City dropped a pick too.
Dropped the interception. The strip fumble. I mean, I felt like that was a moment where, you know, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, at some point, you got to get up out of there. So, yeah, there were several of those where it's just like, yo.
And by the way, he threw that pick. He threw that terrible pick. Yeah.
The triple coverage.
Yeah, that was a terrible pick.
Yeah, yeah. I got a lot of folks talking about could they have thrown the flag there? And it's like, sure, but
no.
We wasn't getting home cooking, bro. Yeah. I'd be honest with you.
I don't even think that was a situation. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think that was a situation at all where a flag could have been or should have been.
If it was Kelsey, they would have threw that flag. I feel like if that was Kelsey, they would have threw that flag.
Bro. I hear you, and I have no way of knowing that to be true, but I don't agree with it. I'll say that. I think that was just a good football play.
That Kelsey, I don't know. That dude is protected at this point. They got his girl in the Super Bowl. They got his Pfizer stuff in the Super Bowl. You know, he campaigned for Pfizer and all this stuff. They, you know, NFL gonna chew that up. So they weren't gonna call no flags on him. But yeah, I felt like there were a couple of moments where, like, even on the Odell Beckham target, the first one, you know, he could have got a flag right there. But we just wasn't getting the calls, man. Offensively, we just wasn't getting them calls, bro. So, quickly,
they talking about the line coach being gone in Baltimore.
Line coach took a job.
Oh, he did take a job. Okay.
And somebody else did. But it wasn't like an offensive or defensive. I think maybe, I don't know if it's a scout or somebody in that front office.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Job, whatever. But McDonald is still on the staff.
Okay.
I know we interviewed for the Washington job. I thought he interviewed for Seattle. I'm not sure. And Monken, I don't think Monken is.
I'm thinking he's going away first. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Monken's not going anywhere, but McDonald certainly is still a candidate. So how many jobs is open right now? It's Seattle and Washington, right?
Seattle and Washington, yeah, because they filled the Titans, they filled the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. The Falcons got Raheem Morris.
Right. Shout out to Raheem Morris.
Shout out to him.
Yeah.
Second opportunity, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to him for that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, look, Mike McDonald had a hell of a season, top defense in the league.
You think he's gone?
I don't think he's gone. I don't know. I mean, look, he just got eliminated, so I know it still could be a thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, you never know. But well, I saw some numbers too. Cap numbers. So there's four players that's got some high numbers. Marlon Humphrey's got a big, you know, cap number. Obviously, Lamar Jackson has one. I don't remember who the other cat is. I think it's on the defensive side that's got the huge number, but we got four guys that's got some huge cap numbers.
Roquan Smith, I would assume.
Maybe it's Roquan. This is the second year of that deal. So yeah, if it's not this coming year, then it's gonna be obviously the following offseason.
Patrick Queen, because I've been seeing a lot of rumors about him.
He's gone. He's gone.
You think he's gone?
I think he's gone.
Wow.
I could live with that.
You could live with that? Really?
Well, are you paying two inside linebackers that kind of money? That's the thing that, because Roquan's got $100 million.
Because along with Roquan, Patrick Queen, I also saw that Matt Ibike could be gone.
Yeah, he could be gone too.
So where
are you getting this money from? I mean, we're already, I think we're a little bit over the cap, but not too much. But obviously, they're going to have to make some cuts. And
I'm trying to see how many, if I'm y'all, I'm trying to see how many Arthur Marlettes we could cut, how many Stevens we could cut. Not because they're not quality players, but because I think trying to keep Queen and Matt Ibike.
You're trying to keep a core
right,
together.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I hate you.
Right.
Obviously, Roquan, Lamar, those are the offense and defense. Those are the two guys. That's your core.
Sure.
And then anything else after that, it's really up for grabs. I mean, like I said, Marlon Humphrey, who's, you know, been on his team.
I would get rid of him, I would get rid of him before I would get rid of Matt Ibike.
Gonna have to make a huge decision with Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah.
You know, the injuries, and you know, he really didn't have such a great year this year. I thought he was just there. I just thought he was you know what I mean? So, and then Odell Beckham too. And I forget who I was talking to about this. So obviously he got $15-18 million this year. So now he's a free agent. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, is he gonna ask for more than what he got this year? And number two, who's the team out there that's gonna do that? The Jets.
Yeah, I'm about to say. I can't say. I know y'all don't plan on. I mean, I know you don't know, but ain't no way in hell y'all bringing him back. Not at that ticket.
If they bring him back, $10 million, I bring him back at $10 million.
I hear you.
Yeah, he's gonna have to take a discount.
Yeah, he gonna take a serious discount.
Because
at this stage of the game, and I get it. I get why he's valuable.
Right. I was just about to say the leadership and, you know, the vet and all that stuff. You gotta value that, but I'm not paying $18 million again for that. You know what I'm saying?
I think I could find a cheaper leader, like an Allen Robinson caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can find that caliber player. Like, yeah, he's not going to get you the star-studded. And I'm not even – what was Odell Beckham's regular season stats? You remember? Did he strike 700 yards?
I don't remember if he did or not. Okay. And I think that was like the incentive, because it was 15, and I think if he went over that threshold, he would have got the $18 million.
Yeah. So
I don't know if he got the 700.
I remember y'all niggas was talking about that nigga might get 1,100 yards. I said, y'all niggas a low shot motherfucker.
Hey.
I feel you. Preseason, man. You got a dream.
No. But without that, though, I did like the signing, though, whether he was going to get that or not. I did like the signing.
In hindsight, do you still like signing him for $15 million?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of the value that he has, being a vet, leadership, that kind of a thing.
You feel like that value was worth $15 million this season?
Okay. Yep.
I disagree, but I hear you. Yep. All right. The 49ers and the Lions, I am seeing it all over social media and those types of things. Shout out to the Lions. Shout out to them. Yeah. But all I'm hearing is that Brock Purdy – to all of y'all that's saying Brock Purdy is not a game manager or is a game manager, y'all, that he is no longer a game manager in everybody's eyes based off of this game. I didn't see this game in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to know your thoughts on him as a game manager. Is he no longer a game manager based off of this win against Detroit?
I won't base it just off of this one game alone. I will say this, though, and I will give him credit during their comeback in the second half. There were a couple plays where he just took off and ran. Like, we never seen that before. With
four carries, about six carries for 40 yards or something.
Something like that. Yeah, getting the first downs and stuff. You know, doing those kinds of little things that you need on a drive where you know you got to have it, right? Like, you got to have the points and stuff, right? So I will give him props for incorporating that into his game just for that particular game. But I would like to see it in the Super Bowl and moving forward with him if he's going to continue to be able to be decisive like that and be able to, you know, do those kinds of runs like that. So I need to get the Dan Campbell, bro. I'm sorry.
You need to what?
I need to get the Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
So you know what Dan Campbell reminds me of? He's like the guy at the casino at the roulette table that bets red 5 straight times and it all hits black and he loses his money and he can't walk away from the table. He did. So we remember the Cowboy game.
Yeah.
With the 2-point conversions.
Yeah.
And I think he just got so emotional that he's like, no, I'm going to keep getting this. I'm going to keep trying it.
Yeah.
So the third quarter where they're up, I think they're up 24 to 10. Yeah. They're up 24 to 10. It's the third quarter and they're in field goal range and it's fourth down. And in my head, I'm like, okay, kick the field goal.
Get the field goal, right.
Go back up by 3 scores, put the pressure on San Francisco to make a run. And he decided at that point, you know what? I'm going to bury him. It's like mid-third quarter. And so the play call, I didn't like the play call. Now, Reynolds, it was in his hands. He dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
That's on him.
Yeah.
But the reason I say I didn't like the play call was because it was 4th and 2. And the Detroit Lions, and you and I talked about it with Montgomery and Gibbs and what they could potentially do to the San Francisco run defense.
And what they had done in the first half, too, what I understand.
Right, right. They were gashing these guys. And quite frankly, coming out the second half, they still had no answer for these guys. Detroit just decided we were just going to stop running. So if there was a play call to be made, I would have liked for Gibbs or Montgomery to get the ball right there. In that spot, knowing that they've been able to gash them the entire game there. But if it's me, I'm kicking the 3 points and I'm going up by 3 scores and I'm putting the pressure back on San Francisco.
It's not that I disagree with you.
Yep.
But you gotta respect the motherfucker that's saying, you know what? Kill. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta respect a coach that's just gonna go hard, and I didn't see the play. So, was the play open? That Josh Reynolds.
So, like I said, good play call from the standpoint that it hit Josh Reynolds' hands and he dropped it.
Right.
But because they were running the football so effectively, and it's 4th and 2, and it's not 4th and 8, even though, Maestro, I don't know if you saw this, but late in that third quarter, they called the running back draw on a 3rd and 13 and they handed it off to Gibbs and he got the first down.
First down. I mean,
that's how bad San Francisco's run defense was. So, if it's me and I'm making that decision to go for it on 4th, I'm calling a running play because I know my guys can get 2 yards on this defense.
Or the other thought could have been, 4th and 2, we know we've been getting gashed, so let's load up. And that's why Josh Reynolds was so wide open. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I hear you.
And it wasn't a play action kind of a thing. I think San Fran knew what they were going to do.
Except for they were wrong.
Right.
If Reynolds was open, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, and that's not necessarily true, but you know what I'm saying? So if Josh Reynolds, if the only problem with that play was the skill player dropped the ball, then I can't call it a bad play. I get tendencies and all those things, but if it caught them off guard and the dude just dropped it, like, imagine if he would have caught it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he'd have caught it.
Reynolds is a part of that, like, offense. Like,
yeah,
he's number 2 or number 3, I think. So it's not like the Indianapolis
situation. Right. Exactly.
It's Josh Reynolds. He's really been with this team for a while. Right.
It really was just a bad drop.
Right.
It seems like the teams with the most experience in this conference, in this championship round, just found ways And that's what it seemed like in both of these games. These guys just found ways. And obviously the other team had to, you know, make some mistakes, but it seems like they just had that these other teams found ways because the 49ers scored 17 in that third quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
yeah.
You know,
a lot of fluky stuff happened in there. The interception that was supposed to be, but it bounced
and hit it. Yeah,
and Ayuk was right there to catch it. Right, like that thing.
And that's another thing. I feel like he get a little too much credit, Purdy. I mean, because that one there, that play there. Yeah. I get you got to put it in the stat sheet because that's what happened, and that's how you count stats.
Sure.
But if we're talking about Brock Purdy, I don't want to be too shady because at the end of the day, he balled and he got to this and he's in the Super Bowl.
He got some stuff right. He did make some plays in other parts of those drives to get it, but we can't ignore some of the fluky stuff that was like Jennings had to leap up for a catch, and then one play where they left Juszczyk open on the side, and Juszczyk makes this like nice grab, and he falls out of bounds, and they get the first down. Detroit had a lot of stuff go against them, but make no mistake about it, Dan Campbell's decision in that third quarter to not take the field goal was the turning point in that game, because right after he didn't get the converted fourth down, they go right down the field.
What point of the game did that field goal happen? Because I was having a conversation at work this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were saying that maybe I heard them wrong now that I'm listening to you tell me the story, but the 49ers didn't really get going until Dan Campbell made that decision.
Yep, that was the turning point.
So it must have happened in the third quarter then.
It was the third quarter, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I heard
I'm sorry, I thought I said that. My fault.
No, you did. That's why I asked you again.
Okay.
Somebody told me, again, I didn't watch this whole game. They told me it happened in the fourth quarter. And I was like, there's no way that happened in the fourth quarter. And they scored 17 in the third quarter.
We can talk about the fourth quarter, though. Because he had another situation where instead of kicking 3 points, he went for it on fourth and didn't get it. But I want to get back to that change of momentum. So they go down San Francisco. They scored a touchdown. It's 17-24. And then that next Detroit drive is the Gibbs fumble happened.
Okay.
And the 49ers got a short field. I think they only had to go was like 25 yards. Bam, touchdown right there. It's tied just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes the fourth quarter. They're down by 3 points. They're in field goal range. And Dan, because I feel like he's not walking away from the table.
Yeah.
He's gambling, but he's losing and he's not walking away from the table. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for the kill. Couldn't convert it. So now San Francisco goes the other way. They score a touchdown. It's now a 10-point San Francisco lead at that point. And at that point, the game is over at that point. So, he made some decisions that really, I think, swung this game around. I mean, and in a hurry, too. Like, it wasn't just, you know, third quarter here, fourth quarter there. It was happening in a barrage of plays after that decision. You said something about, you know, being able to respect the dude that's going to be like, yo, I'm going to go for the kill. And I respect that, too. Dan Campbell, this is who he is. A lot of folks in the media have been kind of taking up for him, saying, hey, this is who he is. He can't change who he is. I read a stat where I think he was like 80%. On, you know, fourth downs, 25.
Mm-hmm.
I just have one question about that stat. How many times of those 25 times did he have a 2-score or more lead?
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like those moments where he was up by 3 scores. Like, I feel like those were moments where it was a game that was back and forth. They was trading scores. Or he was down by 3 or down by 7. I hear you
because that's clearly a different situation. I think, but for me, I respected it in the third quarter when they was up. Mm-hmm. In the fourth quarter when the game was closer, That's the situation where I'm like, all right, bro.
Kick you gotta the kick the three, kick the field, tie it up,
right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yep. That, but I could respect it like that. I was speaking more towards the moment when he went for the kill. Like, I could respect you going for the kill when you mm-hmm. up two scores. Like, nigga, get him out of here so we can maybe by the fourth quarter I can get my players off the field. You know what I'm saying? Get my starters off the field, type of thing. I could respect that. In the fourth quarter, though, where you're trying to tie a game, yeah, that's crazy. That one was a little too much. So it's balanced, but I still respect it. But that, I think the fourth quarter was more of a mistake than the third quarter.
Yeah, that I could definitely see that. Yeah. Me personally, I think both situations were mistakes. I don't know what the situation was with the kicker. I don't know like what the stats is when they kick outdoors, even though it wasn't. Like the weather wasn't crazy.
Right, I'm about to say, sure you knew the kicker situation because they didn't say it in the broadcast.
Right. It was 70 degrees outside. Like, you should be able to, I don't care if you're a dome team or not, you should be able to kick in 70 degree weather. So,
right. So, yeah, that wasn't it. I think he even said it, like, I gambled and I lost. Like, he said it. You know what I'm saying? So,
what's crazy, though, is so before the half, when they were up, was it 21? Is it 20? Yeah, 21-7 was the score.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the ball last to close the half. They're in the red zone, and the announcer made a joke and said, "Hey, maybe Dan, you know, goes for this on fourth down, right? To close the half out, right?"
Yeah.
And we all kind of thinking, you know what? Maybe he might just do it. And he decided to kick the three right there. And a lot of folks have been asking the question, "Hey, if you're that about it." Why don't you just go for it right then and there to close the half out? I get it's a different situation.
Stakes weren't as high.
But
going into halftime, stakes weren't as high.
But sure, 28-7 sounds better than 24-7.
Obviously. But like I said, just the stakes weren't as high. Like I think Dan Campbell, he strikes me as the coach just based on what we've seen.
Yep.
A dude that smells blood in the water, you know. He go get it. You know what I'm saying? He one of them dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I think he realized, oh man, I'm a nail away from getting to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And then he got a little irrational.
Yeah. You know? Right. It goes back to you fail once. Hey, maybe you need to channel it a little bit the next time around. But it seemed like when he doesn't get those conversions, it's like he's trying to do it over and over again until he hit.
Yeah, to put a button on the conversation, man, Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions are just fine. You know, I don't know what their roster cap situation, all those things look like, but they, like, if Dan Campbell is a fine coach, he'll, you know, if too much of these gambles don't bite him in the ass, he should be a coach for the Detroit Lions for years to come. He'll be fine.
So I'll say this, and it broke earlier today that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, turned down the Commander's job, which, you know, got, you know, Commander fans in kind of a frenzy right now. But
yeah, but I ain't been hearing that around amongst the people I've been talking to.
It's based off of my timeline, really.
Yeah, I've seen it in my timeline too. Yeah. That's why I thought it was interesting that you brought it up, because when I talked to I've been talking to quite a few of them in the past couple of days. Mm-hmm. Nobody even really had a high opinion on Johnson.
Mm-hmm. But I think some people thought it was a done deal. Like, I saw somebody post that, oh, this is, you know, this is pretty much a done deal. We just waiting for Detroit to complete their postseason run, and then, you know, they'll make the announcement. But I guess they flew out to Detroit, and I guess they found out on the plane that, you know, Ben Johnson was going to stay in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the rumor is they turned the plane back. They wanted to interview Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator,
right,
who I think should be in line for a head coaching job also. Shout out to my guy, Wole. I tried to convince him, hey, maybe Aaron Glenn might be the guy. He's like, yo, I don't want that nigga.
the coach at like a head coach job?
As a head coach, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I would have, like, no disrespect to Aaron Glenn, but I would like to see him at a coordinator job before. He was the official coordinator?
He was the defensive coordinator.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking, I keep confusing him with Al Hurts. That's what I keep doing. I was about to say, wasn't he the secondary coach? but I keep
He's the D coordinator. So he said to me earlier, he's like, look, man, he's gonna have to do more on the defensive side of the ball for me to even
that
coach.
That's a good point.
And I hear him, Detroit's defense, especially that back end of the defense, not great. Not great.
Especially considering that's what Aaron Glenn did in the NFL.
Right. I made this point. I said, what if he had some better players back there? I mean, I think on paper,
Cameron Sutton, I think they got another pretty good cornerback on paper anyway.
Garner Johnson.
There you go. Yeah. Like, I think they had a pretty decent secondary on paper anyway. Okay. It just wasn't coming together for some reason.
I was going to say, his stock was, because he came from Philly, right?
Yeah.
Garner Johnson.
I
thought his stock wasn't all that great when he came over.
I thought it was pretty great when he left Philly.
I don't know. And maybe it has something to do with the Eagles getting 70 sacks and kind of tying that as a record. And maybe their pass rush maybe kind of...
Yeah, I thought
the deficiencies of the secondary for the Eagles.
Yeah, especially talking to Philly fans, I thought they liked Gardner Johnson.
I think it's kind of mixed.
Okay.
I think it's a mixed bag. But nonetheless, the Commanders are going to still search for their guy. In my opinion, and I don't know why this hasn't been a talking point, but where's Eric Bieniemy at? Is he still on the staff?
I don't know what's going on with that, because what would appear evident, because there ain't nobody saying his name on the timeline. Ain't nobody saying his name in when you talk to Commanders fans. Not nobody I talk to. I don't know what he did in the season that has Commanders fans so upset, but they seem like they don't even really care. Like I've literally heard from some people, Bieniemy could go.
So I could understand a part of that too. So was it the Dallas game on Thanksgiving where he was just calling pass plays on like third and short, fourth and short, and stuff like that? I think it was that game. And I did kind of tweet out, like, yo, EB, like, what are you doing? Like, fourth and one. Like, I think they got some pretty good running backs on that squad, right? So I didn't quite understand that. And then
but their line hasn't been good. Their line wasn't good at all.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't have ran the ball in the situation you're talking about, but their line was not good.
More so from a pass pro perspective, though, too.
I think from any perspective, that line wasn't good.
Really? Okay.
I don't think they was good at all.
They couldn't run block either, huh?
I don't think they were good at all. I mean, from the games I watched, I don't think they were good at all.
Wow. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see what happens.
The last thing I got to talk about, because Pittsburgh's still irrelevant, is that we hired the man who cussed out Dennis Allen at week 18 for whooping his ass. But I will say this, man, because I couldn't remember who Arthur Smith was. I remember the name, but I remember him from the Falcons, but I couldn't remember why he was sticking out to me. And it was because he's the offensive coordinator that was that made people think that Tannehill was a good quarterback.
Yes.
And when I saw that, I was like, you know what? I don't love it, but I don't hate it at all. I'm cool with it. I'm just cool with it. And here's why. Mike Tomlin said that he wanted to bring in somebody with experience. Clearly he has experience. And obviously he was a top running offense in Tennessee. And
that's when he got Derrick Henry.
Henry. But even in Atlanta, I think he was like top five in rushing attempts, which as of right now, because I don't know if Pickett is our quarterback, and quite honestly, I'm more that he's not.
Right.
We need to stick to our strengths, and our strengths is Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. So if we can get that run game going and treat George Pickens, put him in kind of an AJ Brown role, where, hey, just make a play for us when we need you to make a play and block a little bit. But we are running team. I like that idea based on the strengths we have on our team right now. Am I saying that this is a Super Bowl caliber team under that philosophy? Absolutely not right now. But if that's what we're trying to do is play to the strength that we have on our team right now in an attempt to make Kenny Pickett a franchise quarterback and all those types of things,
yeah,
I'll ride. But one thing I'll say is we need to go get Mike Munchak back.
Where is he?
He was. I don't know if he's still in Tennessee, but he was in Tennessee.
Really? He went back to Tennessee? Wow.
No. Like, he went back to Tennessee when he left us to go to Tennessee.
Because didn't he coach? When he head coach in Tennessee for a couple of years?
I believe so. But
a while back?
Yeah. I believe so. But I do believe he ended up being the offensive line coach over there.
Hmm.
And if I'm right in that, that was that run where the offensive line, when the Titans was doing what they was doing.
Right, right.
So with that being said, and by the way, that's when we had a good offensive line with David DeCastro, Ramon Foster, where Le'Veon Bell was running the rock.
Yeah, right.
So please, Pittsburgh, Omar, Tomlin, because I just saw Rooney put out a statement basically saying, yeah, this was Mike's decision. This was Tomlin's decision. So frame that how you want to frame it.
So Alex in the Facebook live chat says, you want to have Pickens? He's questioning that you're going to have Pickens blocking. And then he also says, you believe in the Santa and the Tooth Fairy too also. So he's basically saying trying to get Pickens to block is probably going to be a tough task.
Sir. It was one play. It was two plays that y'all saw. Look, man, I think Pickens is coachable, and I think if you get him the ball the way he want to get the ball, where he can have a 195-yard type of game, and obviously I get it, he's not gonna have that every game. I'm just talking about
right.
I'm just talking about when he was his happiest this year. Mm-hmm. I think we can coach him to be a Hall of Fame type of receiver. That's what I think we can do.
It's all dependent on the quarterback though, too, man.
But again, this is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If we can get the ball running and get some play action, let's be clear.
Yeah.
We got no play action going last year. If we can get some play action going and get that ball to Pickens, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
So my opinion on Arthur Smith. So I hear you about his time in Tennessee, you know, with the running game, with Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and all that. Sometimes you just got to kind of go back to what he just came from, that Atlanta situation.
I can tell you, okay.
And yes, he's a head coach. I get it. Head coach is different from being a coordinator. I hear that a lot of times. Some of the complaints about Arthur Smith down in Atlanta was not giving the rock to Bijan enough.
Not
being able to get Kyle Pitts involved. A lot of things in regard to the offense down there in Atlanta with the weapons that they do have and maybe being misutilized, you know, in a proper way. So,
okay, can I retort?
Yep.
Because I don't want to stretch the conversation too long. Yep. Anybody who may, if your complaint is not getting to Bijan Robinson enough, maybe. But if you look up his how many rush attempts he has as a team, mm-hmm. he's handing the ball off. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is that if he's guilty of anything, maybe he's guilty of getting Bijan Robinson touches. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Or the quarterback situation, because that wasn't.
That was another thing I was getting ready to go to. The quarterback wasn't good. The offensive line wasn't good. You don't have a number one receiver, or I'm just talking about caliber wise.
Right.
I know Drake London is on a come up, maybe, but he's not a number one receiver, and I don't even know who their number two guy is.
Right.
So, with all due respect, I think he might fare a little better with Najee Warren, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, and Pat Freiermuth. He may fare a little better.
Maybe when you're not a head coach and you're a coordinator,
right.
They say some guys are better coordinators than they are head coaches. So maybe it's a situation.
So all that. I'll say is fingers crossed. That's all I can really say.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. That's what's up, man. Yeah, man, let's get up on out of here. We got one more week until we can preview the big game.
I guess I can hang out with you on the Super Bowl, man. I guess I can hang out with you, man.
I'll be honest with you, I might tap out, bro. I might tap out of the Super Bowl, bro. I don't know if I've ever felt this way about a Super Bowl ever.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, once the Lion Niner game came on, I switched my pick to the Lions because I was just so upset that we weren't gonna get the script. You know, we wasn't gonna get
the nigga script, you mean?
Well, no. So you know this thing about the Super Bowl logos with the colors and stuff?
Yeah, I didn't really understand it though.
So the Bengals Rams Super Bowl. So mm-hmm. that Super Bowl logo had yellow and orange in it. So people was pointing to the yellow for the Rams, the orange for the Bengals. The Super Bowl last year between Philly and Kansas City had red and green in it. Folks were pointing to those colors as the Eagles colors, the Chiefs colors. This year's Super Bowl colors had purple and red in it. So when that resurfaced on the web, everybody was like, ooh, this is the script. It's going to be Ravens 49ers, blah, blah, blah. We already know what's going to be. The league is already telling you who's going to be in the Super Bowl. And then that girl came along and that script got flipped real quick.
Yeah, that's a good NFL theorist, that was a good reach. That was a good reach, y'all.
But you know what else too? They caught on. I'm sure somebody in the league office caught on that this thing with the meme with the Super Bowl logos and the colors was resurfacing, and everybody had the conspiracy theories and stuff, and they said, you know what, we can't make it obvious no more. We gotta switch up. We gotta.
You know, man, I don't know how to read you no more, man. I don't know if you believe in, I don't know if you believe in this script stuff or not, man. All these theories or not.
It's crazy though. I mean, the past two Super Bowl logos, that was kind of crazy. I think the league maybe didn't, or people didn't really catch on until this year. And once the league figured out, ooh, the public's catching on, we got to switch this up so we don't make it that obvious. Maybe they flipped the script. I don't know, man. It's emotional, man.
I feel you, man.
Alex said I'm reaching. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, yeah. But it's not you. It's not really you. You just seen something on Twitter. But
I was gonna say it's a whole bunch. There's been a lot of talk about this. Like
it's been a lot of niggas reaching.
It's been a lot of talk about this conspiracy theory stuff. So
yeah.
So yeah, man. Quick shout out to everybody in the Facebook live chat, YouTube, Twitter, all that good stuff. Don't forget, folks, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit us up on Facebook, click the like button, follow us on Twitch as well. We're also on Twitter at BarbershopSPOR2. You can hit us up on the email at BarbershopSportsTalk1@gmail.com. And then hit us up on the audio side, Google Play, Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Check us out there. Write us a review. Let us know what you think about the show and all that good stuff. And check out the merch store also. We got hoodies and mugs and hats and t-shirts and all that good stuff. We got the link in the description of this episode. If you're watching us live right now, check that store out. We got some good stuff on there. So we good, man?
Yes, sir.
No doubt. Love, peace, happiness to everybody out there. And as always, folks, mind your damn business.
Drink some water.